Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
But we are right now, we are just in the middle of a series we called From Fasting to Feasting. Just really amazing series from the Book of Esther. Anyone familiar with the Book of Esther? Couple of people, all right. So not only that, but we are in the middle of the fast. If you don't know what is the fast is 21 days of prayer and fasting we do as a church every year. So every time when we come into the new year, in January, we actually make a commitment. In Equipers Church, we made a commitment to seek God first in prayer. No matter what's ahead, we want to make sure that we are pursuing God. We are going after His presence. We realize that we need God. Amen? And just this is amazing. One of the greatest ways you can start your year is actually with the fasting. And one thing is when we fast individually, I think that's really important. But completely another thing is when we fast together. We fast in unity. When the God's people gather together to fast, to pursue God, something happens and it's really powerful. We're going to have a look on that from the Book of Esther, what actually happened. We'll continue in the story. But the topic of my message today is the power of fasting. So what I'm going to speak about is the power of fasting and the whole idea of fasting. The first thing I want to say is that there is no power in the fasting. Really want you to understand this. Don't get me wrong, okay? There is no power in fasting in itself. Fasting has no spiritual power. What fasting does, it actually draws us closer to God. He has all the power, amen? So what He's doing, fasting, it moves us. Sometimes we think that we actually can move God through fasting, but that's not true. What fasting is doing, it moves us closer to Him rather than we move God closer to us. So fasting is not about starvation. It's not about diet. It's not about losing weight. It's not about being more healthy. Maybe some of these things are like a side effects. But the main purpose of fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual reasons. More of us, we actually need breakthrough. We need to experience breakthrough. We want to see breakthroughs. And fasting is that we actually give up something so essential as for life, as food, and we pursue God. And it gets His attention. Anyway, we're going to look on the Book of Esther. If you're not familiar with the story that much, there are four characters you need to know. The first character is the king. The king is actually looking for a new queen. And he's the king of the whole huge, massive kingdom of Persia. The second character you need to know is Esther. Esther is a simple, beautiful... I see my wife is watching. I need to be careful what I'm saying. Yes, she's dead anyway, so you know. She's a beautiful girl. She's Jewish, but she decided to hide her that she's Jewish. Anyway, and Esther has an uncle. That's the third character, okay? So we have the king, we have Esther, and then there is her uncle called Mordecai. He is just really a man of God, really wise man. He's the man, you know. Anyway, and then there is the bad guy. The bad guy is called in this story Haman. Haman is just really hates Jews, but unfortunately he's actually very powerful and he has lots of authority in the kingdom. And so, you know, the story goes that the king is actually looking for a queen. And somehow, he just really, from all the girls from the whole kingdom, he actually falls in love with this Esther, with this simple Jewish girl. And it just really sounds like a fairy tale. It's so interesting because Esther, you know, she was orphan. Simple Jewish girl. How good is that, that no matter what is our background, we can still, no matter that we start small, we can still finish big. She was chosen to be queen, do you understand? Of the whole massive kingdom. Little Jewish orphan, chosen to be queen. How good is that? We never know what God has for us. Our background doesn't determine our future. How good is this? Anyone? So it feels like a... Come on, guys. Let's clap all together. If one claps, all of us clap. Come on. Don't let the couple of people who are clapping feel awkward, you know? Anyway, so it feels kind of like a fairy tale. You know, this girl, Jewish girl, becoming queen. Everything is perfect. Everything is amazing. Everything is beautiful until it's not. And what happens is that in Esther chapter 3, verse 6, actually we're going to read that there is this Haman. He comes on the scene and he looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom. How crazy is that? That you see that something bad is really starting to happen. Some evil is rising up in the story. And actually in verse 13, it says that actually what happened is the letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces and instruction to destroy and to kill all Jews. How crazy is that? And after that, to plunder their goods, basically to take all their possessions, all the money. So this guy, this Haman, you can just really feel that he is just a pure evil. He really seeks to destroy the nation of God, really seeks to kill all the Jews. It's crazy. It's so sad. The Bible says there was a massive mourning, like people were really desperate. People were overwhelmed. They were desperate because they just, you know, imagine like all of your family, everyone you know, just die in a few days. That's crazy. But they had a last hope. Their last hope was that we can jump into chapter 4, verse 8. So what happened is the Mordecai is actually having this conversation with his niece, Queen Esther. So he goes to her. He basically gives her, shows her what is about to happen. He explains it to her. But then he commands to her to go to the king and to beg favor and to plead with him on behalf of her people. So Esther just really thinking that she will just really the plan. This is the plan, how to save and what to do. So the plan sounds good, but then what happens? We find out what Esther replies in the verse 10. So she replies to him that all the king's officials and people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king, there is just one law, and that they be put to death, unless the king decides to spare their lives. So this is crazy, you know. Esther is, of course, afraid. She's risking her life if she will be doing this. So the plan is that Esther will come to the king. She'll reveal her Jewish authority and just really asking to save her people. Sounds good enough. But the problem is that she's risking her life pretty much. That's crazy. But then what happens next is actually Mordecai gives this famous, amazing reply from verse 13. He actually says that, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows," this is interesting, "who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows you actually became queen because this is about to happen. So this is your purpose. This is your calling." This is amazing. And then Esther, then she actually gives this amazing reply. She comes, and this is one of, you know, the drop the mics moments. She actually says that, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day." That's pretty extreme. That's crazy. I and my young woman will also do fast. Then I will go to the king, though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." It's such a powerful, powerful, amazing reply. I feel just with the Holy Spirit was probably there giving her these words. But today what we're going to look at is just really the idea of the power of fasting and what the fasting is doing in our lives. And the first thing I want to mention, the point number one, is that fasting brings humility. Why don't we say it all together? Come on. Fasting brings humility. Awesome. You know, so Esther, what happened, she actually realized what she's facing and that what she's facing is actually bigger than her. She needs a miracle. You know, all of us, we want miracle, but none of us, we want to be in a position where we need miracle, right? Probably none of us wants to do that. But when Esther realized that when she needs miracle, I love what is her reply. Her reply is actually to gather all the people and to do a fasting. She says that, go gather all the Jews. Hold a fast on my behalf. And then I will go. I don't know what you sense, but from this, I feel like sense of your humility. Yes, I see this is a big issue, but she's not in a hurry. She's not going crazy after the king, risking her life. No, she's actually humble. She actually says, oh, actually, I need God for this. Because this is very dangerous. This is very important. So I love that first we'll fast and then we'll go. I love just, if there is a massive obstacle in our lives, what if we first just gonna fast and then we go? What is gonna be something just really change? She's not rushing to the king. She realizes it's so dangerous. She's not only risking her life, but also the life of the whole people. Just really, it's kind of like a saying like, God, I need you. Before rushing to the king, like, just God, I need you in this. We need your attention. We need you to deliver us. That requires humility. Humility is one of the first things that God wants you to get and understand on your journey with Jesus. And fasting brings humility. You know, when I was in the Bible college, one of the first things that God was kind of like a champion at and also like really transforming our character. But this is the point of the Bible college. And one of the first things that God did in my life was just really the Holy Spirit, I feel like, convicted me that, just convicted me of pride and arrogance and one of those things. And I just remember just really just crying to God, crying and just really asking me for forgiveness. That I don't want to be like that. I want to change. I want to be more like him and to help me to change. Just was really difficult. I know one of the first things I actually felt like even when I was preaching in the Bible college is just really the area of humility. I think if we really need to want to do something in the kingdom, we need to be humble. We need to have humility. Humility is so important. We need to humble ourselves with God. Do you want to know why most of the people don't want to fast? Because they're proud. Really, when you think about it. When are you fasting, you know, the only, even like, man, what you can lose, the only thing you can lose by doing that to get humble yourself is your pride. It's not even a bad thing to lose, yes? Maybe a couple, yeah, come on. Maybe our problem is not that we not don't give enough. You know, in the Matthew 6, that Jesus is saying that when you give, when you pray, when you fast, do it in secret. So your Father who is in secret, he can reward you. And the whole idea is like, man, what if the problem is not that we don't pray enough or that we don't give enough? What a problem sometimes that we, as a Christians, we just don't fast enough to see breakthrough. There is one amazing scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 to 6, it says that, 1 Peter chapter 5. Anyway, it says that God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Just really powerful scripture that God is actually opposing the proud people. He lifts up the humble. That's how it works in the kingdom. As we go down, as we humble ourselves, God is going to lift you up. He's going to see it. That's how it works. The kingdom is full of paradoxes. This is one of them. There is one thing in your life you need to learn about the kingdom of God. It's humility. The other thing, just really feel like, you know, sometimes we often in our lives, we wait for God to move or to do a breakthrough. But there is one scripture from 2 Chronicles. I love this point of view. 2 Chronicles 7. It says that if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and will heal the land. How many of you agree that we need God to heal our land, to come here, to experience more on heaven here on earth? Just really see like, man, God is saying basically, if you humble yourself, I will come, I will move, I will answer you. God is not saying that first he will come and move and then we'll change. No, God is waiting for us to do the first step. Well, sometimes we act like we are just waiting for God to do something, but what the true reality is actually that God is waiting for us. What if we are the ones supposed to do the first step in order to release the God's blessing? We need to humble ourselves if we want to see God move. I believe that. The way we actually do that, the way we actually humble ourselves biblically is through fasting. We're going to look at one scripture from Psalm chapter 69. It just really says, David is saying that when I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, you see, it's just really, David is saying, I humbled myself with fasting. Another from Psalm 35, it says, yet when they were ill, I put the sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. Even Ezra, he humbled himself with fasting. We go to Ezra chapter 8 and says that, I proclaim a fast so that we might, what? Humble ourselves before God. The way you humble yourself biblically before God is through fasting. It's your actions are speaking, God, I need you. God, I acknowledge your need for you. So the first thing I just really feel in the power of fasting, the first thing that the fast is doing, it brings humility. Let's say together, it brings what? Humility. You are amazing. The second thing the fasting brings, it's courage. Why don't we say it together? Fasting brings courage. Let's go. So fasting gives you courage. Fasting actually helps us to overcome things humbly and boldly. I think if we really want to win our lives, what about if we start approaching God and our circumstances humbly and boldly? It actually works pretty much together. So when you go to, again, Esther 4:16, drop the mic, reply. So you go, go gather all the Jews, hold on fast. Do we have it? Yes. And it goes, man, you can kind of like feel now there is a courage as well. It's like, man, I will go to the king, though it's against the law. Man, and if I perish, I am willing to perish. I am willing to pay the price. I am willing to take the risk. Man, you can see, even before her reply was like, do you realize that I can die? But now he's like, no, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to approach the king no matter what the cost. Man, there is a sense of courage. There is a sense of overcoming what you are afraid of. I'm not saying she wasn't scared of that. But the courage, it actually enables you to overcome what you are afraid of. Overcome your fears. Esther overcome her fears right there. Fasting helped her to overcome the fear. Sometimes if we face something difficult, something big, it might look scary, might look dangerous. I want to encourage you to fast, maybe to invite some of your friends to fast with you. But then, after that, there is a time to take a leap of faith with courage and to face your fears. If you are afraid of something, fast and then face your fears. So the first thing, what the power of fasting, the first thing is that it brings humility. Let's say together, it brings humility. The second thing it brings, it's courage. And the last thing it brings, fasting brings victory. Okay, let's say together boldly all of us, fasting brings victory. Awesome, so good. So we need courage to do the right thing. But then we need the favor of God. We need to acknowledge our need for Him. And I want to say, you can do both. So what happens next in the story is in Esther chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. It says that then the king saw the Queen Esther as she is walking to him after those days. Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. How good is that? And he held out to Esther the golden, she basically took a mercy on her. Then it goes, then Esther approached and touched the tip of, and the king said to her, what it is, Queen Esther, what is your request? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom. She won a favor in his sight. And you can imagine what happens next. The Jews were saved. After 3 days of fasting and prayer, 72 hours, 3 days that changed our history, that saved the Jews. Jews were supposed to be dead all over the kingdom. God saved them in 3 days. That history was changed. If fasting can change our history, I believe it can also change our future. No matter what is in front of us. Come on, that was good. Come on. There is a spiritual battle that is happening. It's not only Haman, but there are actually things that Ephesians 6 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against just really the spiritual forces of evil. There is something that is trying to destroy us, prevent from God moving. We are in the spiritual battle. The enemy is not sleeping. The second Corinthians says in chapter 10, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Fasting is one of the ways we can fight. Not only fight, but it brings victory. If you combine humility, if you command boldness and courage, I wonder what can happen in your life if you approach God boldly and humbly. I wonder how your life, where can go. If we start approaching God and our circumstances humbly and boldly, it can help us to fulfill our calling. I remember right now we just in the middle of the fasting, and this is I think my third year that we started to join the fast, 21 days of prayer and fasting as a family. Just really seen a huge blessing, just really a huge favor that God did in our lives. I remember 2 years ago we actually moved to Hungary, and we just came here, and we just started these 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so we just really felt like the problem was that we didn't really have a space to live in. So it was like very difficult. We couldn't even find an apartment. We had pretty much struggles to find an apartment. And I know it was pretty difficult. And we even like it felt weird. It felt like every single thing we tried, just close the door. We even went to a place and they said like, "Oh, you are not suitable for us, sorry." So it was very weird. But then I think it was the last day of fasting, of the fast, or something like that. And what happened is that just really we got an amazing offer. And for the same price, we pay like a huge, massive, beautiful apartment that enables us to do church there. And many of you have been there. So it was just really amazing answer from God. Little things in life just really. And I remember a year later, last year, I was just really doing through financial difficulties. And just thinking about giving up on ministry. That this is probably not for us. It's probably not what God wants us to do. And then what happened in the fasting and around that season is that God enables us to work together with that. So we receive a few new income stream and actually enables us to continue in the ministry. Just it was like really supernatural open door that God prevented. And since then we didn't have like a financial pressure or difficulties, only if we were stupid, we used the money from wrong things. And then a month after that last year, Hika gave birth to our amazing, beautiful, healthy boy, Jonathan. And just really amazing, just really this fasting, it was so many good things coming out of that season that we remember fighting for. Just really want to encourage, don't miss out. Don't miss out on this. We have no ideas what God can do through that. How can He use it? I'm looking forward for what will God do this year at the end of this fasting, what He will do. Why don't we stand, all of us? Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, there is one scripture I have, just really kind of from Genesis 50. It says that, "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And just really the thing that stood out from that, no matter what is happening, there's always but God. Yes. He has amazing ability to take anything bad and turn it to good. Amazing ability. And maybe you are here tonight and you're just really facing something very difficult. Maybe you are here tonight and there is a maybe financial difficulties, maybe family difficulties, maybe health difficulties, and you need to see the miracle. You feel like Esther when it looks scary what is in front of you. Just really want to encourage you that no matter what is in front of you, underneath, God is working. God is there. God is in control. Everything is in His hands. He has the ability to change anything bad for good. just really want to encourage you as well. If there should be one thing for you to just really take away and to learn, is just really that if fasting change our history, it can also change our future. My challenge for you is just really, man, make fasting a habit this year. Make fasting a habit. I wonder how God can use it in your life. What will come as a result of this? We are supposed, as followers of Jesus, fasting should be normal. He is an example of that. Why don't we pray together, just really simply? Feel free to repeat after me. God, I want you. God, I love you. And this year, I'm coming more after you in prayer and fasting. Come on, in Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a huge clap of praise to Jesus.